We're going to wrap up this series, Growing Stronger. And so if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read Proverbs. Let me get my sermon notes here. We're going to start with reading Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. We've read this before, and this could kind of be like a checklist, basically, of the whole series, because it deals with almost all the aspects that we've talked about. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil." So we're going to talk about having stronger feet this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you speak to us, God. And Lord, we know your Holy Spirit is here among us and he is speaking. We pray, God, that he would just enlighten us, God, to hear you, that he would give us ears to hear. And Father, help me to preach to where we can understand what you are saying through your word, and may we apply it to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we wrap up, let me just kind of restate some things that's already been said. We have said that just going to a gym doesn't get you in shape, correct? Many of us have tried that. We've tried just joining a gym, thinking that we're going to get in shape, and we walked out not in shape, because you have to actually do something in the gym to get in shape, right? You actually got to lift the weights. You actually got to get on the treadmill. You actually got to do the exercises if you want to get in shape. Just the way that it is physically, spiritually, you will not get spiritually fit by just coming to church. By just sitting here, coming to church will not get you spiritually fit. You have to actually exercise your faith. You got to exercise the muscle of faith, and the way that you do that is through obedience. Okay? So when you hear the word of God and the word of God speaks, you obey God's word, and that is how you grow. That's how you mature. That's how you grow stronger. When we teach, when we preach, when we do any type of learning, it's not about just information. We're not just wanting you to get a bunch of information in your head, but we want to get the information in your head that you need to get it to your heart to transform your mind and your life and act upon it, right? Just by getting a diet book doesn't cause me to lose weight, right? Some people have 3, 4, 5 different diet plans, diet books that they purchased and still never lost any weight because they didn't apply what they knew. So me just knowing that I've got to lift that weight to get stronger, me just knowing that fact isn't going to get me stronger. I have to actually pick up the weight and lift it. Just knowing the word of God isn't going to make me mature. I have to actually obey what the word of God says. And every time that I obey God's word, I get stronger and stronger and more mature, and my faith grows. Does that make sense? Amen. Two of you, it makes sense for. We in for a long Sunday morning. See, this is the last one, so we don't have to have a specific ending point, right? We just go, Chris, we just go all day here, bub. You ready? Sit in the front row, I better hear some amens. You got me? All right, here we go. We got to get this, okay? We got to get this. We got to obey what God is saying. So we're going to talk about having stronger feet this morning. If we're going to have stronger feet, we've talked about having a stronger mind, stronger eyes, a stronger mouth, stronger ears, stronger heart, stronger hands. Now we're going to be stronger feet. You ready? If we're going to have stronger feet, we need feet that keep turned to his testimonies. We need feet that keep turned to his testimonies. Look at Psalm 119, verse 57. It says, "The Lord is my portion. I have promised to what? Keep your words. Again, that's to obey your words, not just to know it, but to keep it, to obey it. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Now, notice what he says there. He says, I turned my feet to your testimonies. Your feet keep you balanced. Your feet help you to move. I turned my feet, he says, to your testimonies, in your direction, in your truth, in your word. That's where I'm turning towards. Because the direction that I turn is the direction that I will travel. Correct? The direction that I turn is the direction that I travel. Now, I'm going to drop something deep on you this morning. You ready? I mean, you're going to want to write this down. You're going to be like, whoa, I just don't, how did he get this knowledge? I mean, it's going to be like, wow. And probably after I say it, you're always going to go, wow. Okay? Here you go. You ready? You ready for it? I don't see any of you with a pen out. Pen's not one. Here we go. All right, here we go. If you turn in the right direction, you cannot go in the wrong direction. There you go. You did. Thank you. Thank you. That's going to sound really good on the internet. I'll have to edit this part out. But anyway, the direction. When if you turn in the right direction, you can't go in the wrong direction. True? And so if we know that to be true, it's very important to do as what the psalmist says is to turn our feet to the testimonies of God. Turn our feet to the direction that's going to lead to life. Turn our feet to the path that's going to lead to everlasting life. If we're going to turn and have our feet grow stronger, we have to turn to Jesus. Right? We have to turn by faith to him. If we don't know Christ, we'll never understand and we'll never live the full purpose of what we've been created to live. We have to turn to Christ. The Bible says to repent. And that word repent in the Greek literally means to change your mind or to turn. It's like a soldier that's giving marching orders to do an about face. It's a change of mind. And so I'm living my life one way, and I'm living it for me. I'm living it in my own course, and I realize that every time I walk my path, it ends up in a dead-end street. It doesn't lead to prosperity. It leads to danger and just turmoil. And I realize that I'm lost and hopeless, and I need a Savior. And I say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me and rose again. Come, be my Lord. Be my God. Save me. I change my mind that I need a Savior, and I turn my direction, and I walk for him. That's it. You have to do that in order to have stronger feet. You've got to turn your feet towards his testimonies. And once you turn your feet towards his testimonies, then you must have feet that stay in his ways. We need to have feet that stay in his ways. Now that I've turned in the right direction, I need to stay in that way, right? I need to stay on that path. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, your word is a what? Lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Maybe y'all memorize that. Many of you grew up maybe in Sunday school or in children's church, or maybe you went to vacation Bible school. If you go to enough vacation Bible schools as a little kid, this is bound and determined going to be one of the verses that you memorize, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, because I've got the right direction, I'm turned towards his testimonies, and now the word of God, it becomes that light for my path. It lights the way. It allows me to see where I need to go. It helps me to see if there's any dangers, if there's any things that's going to trip me up, that I can see it. Why? Because I've got the light of God's word leading the way. I'm turned towards him, and I'm walking in his way. How many of y'all have ever tried to make a detour in life? Anybody? Veer off course? You know, you're like, I'm heading this way, and then all of a sudden, Satan got his little distraction. He's got his billboard sign. Says it's blinking, and it's going, this is real life. This is real life. Oh, fun over here. Oh, pleasure this way. You know, gain this way. Rewards, riches, and it just flashes all around us, and we see that, and we go, whoop. And we veer off. It's dangerous, isn't it? Some of us, sometimes we think we have you ever been on a trip and you're going to take a shortcut somewhere? You're like, you know what? I think if I take this route here, I can go around it. And then you end up getting off course and you're in some country road. And you're like, where am I? Where are we? You got to turn around and get back. Don't take the detour. Stay on the path. Stay in his ways. Let the word of God light your way. Don't think that you get this great idea and think you can do it yourself. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, it leads to death. Okay, don't follow your own path. Stay on his path. Let his word light the way. Don't bring your own flashlight. Let his word be your flashlight. Let it be your guide. Amen. We read Proverbs 4 and verse 25. Let's look at that again because it says, let your eyes look where? Directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Stay in his ways. Why? Because his ways lead to life. It's the principle of the path. The path I travel leads me to my destination. Simply put, right? The road you take, the path you travel, the road you walk will lead you to your destination. And so if you are walking the path that God lays out for you, you're going to lead to the life that God has planned for you. Does that make sense? When you get off that path, you get off God's plan. So stay in his way. Now, Satan's got his way to try to detour us, right? We already talked a little bit about that. There's little billboard signs that pop up along to try to get to distract us because he wants us to veer off that path. And so if we're going to have stronger feet, not only do we need to have feet that are turned to his testimonies and feet that stay in his ways, we need to have feet that avoid the counsel of the wicked. We need to have feet that avoids the counsel of the wicked. There is sin and wickedness in this world. Amen. There are people that Satan will use to destroy your life. There are circumstances Satan will use to destroy your life. There are temptations that he'll use to destroy your life. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. He says, how blessed is the man who does not partner, who does not do life with people who have wicked intentions and that do not love God. Be careful. Now, you tend to think, as I speak like this, you know, parents think, you know, adults, and we sit and think, yes, tell those youth that. Those youth, they really need to hear that. And what I have discovered is that adults still need to hear this same message. That you've got to be very careful who you do your life with. Because the Bible says that we are not to partner or be in partnership with those who do not have a love and heart for God. Now, it doesn't mean that we never reach out, that we never witness to. Okay, there's a difference between walking towards sinners and walking with sinners. Now, let's just clear this all up. We're all, those of us who are Christians, we're sinners saved by grace, right? So we all know what it means to live a sinful lifestyle because we've all done that. And we still battle that. And some of you all were very good at that, right? So you have a good idea of what that's like. But I'm not going to do what you do. I can't, because it's going to destroy my life. Because so there's some places that you invite me to go, I just can't go, because there's going to be danger there. There's going to be destruction there. There's going to be potential. There's going to be maybe temptation there that I just can't be around. I just can't do that. I know me. And so I need to be guarded. I can't go certain places. I can't be with you there on this night. But hey, if you want to come with me on Sunday morning to church, man, let's do it. You hear me? There's some business deals I can't do. I can't partner with you. I can't go into business with you. I can't do that because your heart and my heart have different affections. And I can't partner with somebody that does not have a heart for God. Now, I can love you, and I can we can be friendly and we can associate. But I'm not going to run with you. I'm not going to do life with you. I'm not going to bring you into my close personal life. I can't. I gotta be careful. I can't sit at your table because it's ungodly. And adults, some of us, we never get out of that high school temptation, and it follows us our whole life. And we've got to defeat it. And if it means walking away, you got to walk away. Why? Because we're walking in the test, in His testimonies, in His way, not with the wicked. Psalm 144 says, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to trip up my feet. The proud have hidden a trap for me, and cords they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me." There is wicked people that try to trap you, trip you up, take you down. And I've got a picture of two folks in our church that have tried to do that to me. You ready? Here we go. You see these jokers? Anybody know them? I tell you what, you know, we're having a birthday party yesterday, and I'm having fun, you know, getting things ready. And all of a sudden, I look out my door, my office door, and I see these two guys with water balloons in their hands, plotting an evil, wicked plan. You know what they were wanting me to do? They were hoping that I'd walk out of my office door, and they were going to pelt me with those water balloons. Can you believe the wickedness of these two? Okay. Now, we laugh and we jest about that and we kind of, you know, just make fun. But that, in reality, that's what Satan tries to do. He will try to set up ways to sabotage your life, and he'll set schemes and he'll wait and he'll bait you and he'll pull you and he'll wait and he'll use people if he needs to use people. He'll use people you like. He'll use people you don't like. He'll use church people, unchurched people. He'll use family. He'll use friends, or so-called friends. If he can use anybody or anything or any way to get you to step into a trap and to take you off the course of God's path, he'll do it. He'll do it. And once you step in it, man, like an old bear trap, it'll just... it'll clamp on you, and it causes destruction. And so we've always got to be careful. We got to be careful who we allow into our lives, and we have to be guarded about, is this something that could hurt me? Could it bring damage to me and my family? Could it hurt my church? Could it hurt the people that I love? And be careful and cautious that we avoid the counsel of the wicked. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. This is kind of a little summary statement, too, of some people that we need to avoid, or people, behaviors that we need to avoid ourselves and not hang around folks who are involved in this. Proverbs 6, 16 says, "There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers." God says that's not good. Those are folks that you don't need to be doing intimate life with. You need to watch out, be careful. Could be dangerous. So we need feet that avoid the counsel of the wicked. Then we also need feet that embrace the companion of believers. Feet that embrace the companion of believers. Psalm 119:63 says, "I am a companion of all those who" what? "Fear you, and those who keep your precepts." I am a companion with all of those who fear you and keep your precepts. He says, I'm hanging with and I'm doing life intimately with people who love you, God, who fear you, God, and have you as their objective. You see, in life, everybody can't be a close friend to you, right? I mean, you know a lot of people. And out of a lot of people you know, only few can be true, intimate, close friends that are really close to you, right? And God sends many different people in your path all throughout your life. Some people that he's going to send your way are just short-term friends. They're going to be friends just during a season of your life. And then you're going to have your lifelong friends that are going to be there with you for a long time. And you're going to do life together. And those people that you bring close to you, the closest people to you, you've got to make sure that their heart and your heart both beat for God. That their purpose in life and your purpose in life is both to glorify God. That your direction and their direction is the same. That you're walking towards God together. Amen? And that you're encouraging one another. And that you're helping one another. Let me give you a little bit of advice here. This is kind of help you. If someone ever gives you advice that is contrary to Scripture, you need to check if that's a true friend or not. Because a true friend that loves God and follows Him is not going to give you advice that contradicts what the Scripture says. They're going to lead you to a path that disobeys God. Okay? And so you need to embrace those brothers and sisters in your life, those friends that you have that are Christ-minded and want to follow Jesus, and you all encourage one another and help each other along the way. Does that make sense? We also need to have feet that bring the good news. Feet that bring the good news. In Isaiah chapter 52, it says, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who announce peace and bring good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns." Paul uses this verse as well in Romans chapter 10 when he's speaking of how people are saved. In Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 13, it says, "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be" what? "Saved." So it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, those people will be saved. Then he asks this question, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." And this is kind of a humbling verse for me. It's because I'm a preacher, right? And I hate feet. I mean, feet are disgusting to me. I can't stand seeing people wear sandals. But the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet that bring the good news. It's a beautiful thing because God sends and he calls preachers. And not everyone's called to be a preacher. And a lot of you thank God, right? Because definitely, you have to be called to do this. If you're not called to be a preacher, you don't need to be preaching because it's definitely a calling. And some of you out there thinking, "Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, it'd be nice if I could just work one day a week." You ain't got a clue what goes on. But there's a calling. There's calling for preachers, for missionaries, callings for evangelists, special callings in different areas, okay? And it says, "How beautiful are the feet." They do a good work. And I'm not saying this for me, okay? It kind of seems a little self-serving in some ways, but out of all in general, we got to understand this, that God says that those who bring the gospel and those who preach the gospel, man, they do a good work. That's a great thing. We live in a world that does not want to hear that message. We've got brothers and sisters around the world who are preaching this message, and they're losing their life for it. There is a hatred to the message. There's many people who don't like the message of the gospel, therefore they don't like the messenger of the gospel. And there's people being persecuted, being killed for it. In our culture, and in America, it's a little different because in our culture, well, we just really don't respect any type of authority, right? I mean, we don't respect cops or officers. We don't respect teachers. We don't respect our bosses. And we don't respect preachers. And all those people that have a position of authority in those circumstances, well, they're fair game for ridicule, mockery, and even defamation. And people just have a great time with that, just putting down and disrespecting But God says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. There should be some honor and respect there. To be thankful that God sends people out. Because if God didn't send people out and the preaching of the word didn't happen, he says, how are they going to be saved? So we ought to be thankful for the men who bring the word of God, to the women who teach the word of God and share God's word and his message. Now, just because we're not a preacher, or just because we're not a missionary, doesn't mean we can't still share some of this good news, amen? Because even though you weren't called to be a preacher, some of you, you're still called to be a witness. Let me say that one more, because only one person, amen me. You ready? Just because you're not called to be a preacher, you are called to be a witness. Amen. Okay? So we're all called to be a witness. We're all called to share some good news. And what's the good news? The good news is the gospel. And I'm telling you, every one of us can do that. If you're a believer, you can share the good news. Here's what you need to know. Man's got a problem, sin. God's got a solution, his son. That he died on the cross for my sin. He was put in the grave and he rose again on the third day, that whoever will call upon him will be saved. That's it. You see, our faith, it's historical, folks. It's not mystical. It is historical. There is a man named Jesus who really lived. And he was really the God-man. And he really walked on the earth. And he really died. They really crucified him. They really put him in a tomb. And he really rose again. And he's really coming back. And so we have got a message of good news to share with other people. And when people are busted up, broken and helpless and hopeless, we can say, hey, there is a God who loves you. There's a God who made you and he took care of your sin problem. If you'll confess your faith and believe in him, he'll save you. Amen. And we can all share that good news. And we can all be people who bring good news to others. We have feet that bring the good news. And lastly, and I could have just said this, summed it all up, we would have been done. But then you wouldn't have got your money's worth, right? It would have been a 5-minute message. You'd been so disappointed. Some of you are thinking, I'd like to hear that 5-minute message. But we need feet that follow Jesus, right? Simply put, bottom line, we need feet that follow Jesus. Because if we have feet that follow Jesus, our feet are going to be turned to his testimonies, right? If we have feet that follow Jesus, then we're going to stay in his ways, right? If we have feet that follow Jesus, we're going to avoid the counsel of the wicked. If we have feet that follow Jesus, we're going to embrace the companions of believers. If we have feet that follow Jesus, we're going to bring the good news. See, 1 John 2:6, it says this. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. All right, let's break this down. Let's make this where we understand what it says. The Christian who says that he or she abides in Jesus ought himself or herself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. The Christian who says that I abide in Jesus ought to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. Well, how did Jesus walk? He walked with the sole purpose of obeying his Father. He walked with the purpose to obey the Father, to please the Father. He said, I do not do anything on my own initiative. But whatever I hear him say, I say. Whatever I see him do, I do. And so Jesus lived and said, Lord, Father, what do you want me to do? You want me to go there? That's where I'm going. You want me to say this? That's what I'm saying. Jesus fully followed the will of his Father. And so 2 John 1:6 says this. And this is love. You want to know what love is? Here it is. This is love. That we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment. Just as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I ask. Now, why can he say that? Because he perfectly loved the Father. And he did everything that the Father asked. So he asked us as Christians to do everything he asked of us. Those of you who got kids or have had kids, you know you can relate to this. There's a moment in time when your little boy, dad, you remember this moment, your little boy got into your shoes. Or maybe your daughter got into your shoes and their feet was about this big and your shoes were about this big. And they got in them. They were flopping around, walking in them. They wanted to be like their daddy. Right? Some of the daughters, sometimes they got their mommy's high heels or their boots. They went clunk, 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 clunk through the house. Right? Trying to be like their mommy. And what we need to do as Christians is we need to walk in the feet of Jesus and just say, Lord Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you. I want to go where you say to go. You want me to go here, Lord? That's where I'm going. You want me to say this, Lord? That's what I'm saying. I want to be like you. And I want to walk in your footsteps. And I want my feet to grow into your shoes. And I want to mature. And I want to be more. I won't be you. I'll never be you, but I want to be like you. I want to love like you loved and talk like you talked and handle life the way you handled life. And I want to glorify the Father the way you glorified the Father. And I know by bringing honor to you, I glorify him. And so that's what I want to do. That's simple, right? Simply stated, not always easily done. And sometimes in life, we get off course. We get out of step. We get out of line. And today he says, come back. Some of you have never placed your faith in Jesus. You're walking your own path. You think you're going to make it to heaven on your own. You are still deceived. Some of you still believe that when you die, that God's going to judge your life with this great heavenly balance scale. He's going to put all your good works on one side and all your bad works on one side, and you just hope and you're just praying that you think that you've been just good enough. I mean, you haven't been perfect, and you've been a little bad, but not as bad as you think. You think that your good's going to outweigh your bad, and you're just hoping and banking and praying that that's how God operates. And I'm here to tell you, that's a scheme of the devil. That's not how he'll judge your life. Because you're good enough, your good deeds can never outweigh the weight of the sin. There's only one way to deal with the sin problem, that's through the blood of Jesus. That's why he died. That's why he came. So that your sin problem can be dealt with. And that separation between you and God can be broken and you can come together and be mended and healed. And so this morning, some of you, I'm going to ask you to use your feet to get up out of your seat, walk down this aisle and say, Grant, I need to give my life to Jesus. I've never surrendered to him as Lord, and I need to be saved today. I'm going to ask some of you who know him to use your feet to walk down this aisle. And maybe you just need to give him some special praise this morning. Just give him some special thanks. Maybe there's some burdens on your heart that you just need to lay down. Maybe there's people you need to pray with or pray for, and that you need to use this time just to do business with God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to respond to you today. Lord, there's someone here right now. They've never began the path of following you. And today you speak to their heart, letting them know that you want to save them today and that you offer salvation. Lord, there are some folks this morning that's veered off. They've been distracted by the billboards that Satan's put out, and they've taken a detour. And they're not walking in the path that they know they need to be walking in. And today you're saying to them, hey, let's get back on track. Let's get back in step. Let's get back in sync. There's others this morning, Lord, that that they're staying on your path, but man, they are struggling. I mean, it's a slow crawl. They're burdened. They're weighed down. They're stressed. They're tired. Life is just beating them up. And Lord, they're walking. It's a limp. And that might be slow, but they're walking and they just need your healing hand to come on them and let them know that you're with them and that they'll make it. Keep walking. Lord, whatever the situation is this morning, would you just speak and do your work? For it's in your great name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's come this morning. Let's respond. However God is leading in your heart to do, would you come? Would you come?